It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
Are you ready? Mm-hmm. Good, because I started.
Okay.
Could you tell?
No.
Really?
Well, you know, you're clicking that thing. You know, sometimes you click it, it means nothing. Sometimes you click it, it means something.
So are you ever, like, surprised to find that I've already started?
I wouldn't say surprised. Every time you... Okay, so people understand. I'm sitting across from you, and your laptop is on your lap.
No, we're in the studio.
Whatever. And, you know, every once in a while, you'll click the fake mouse that's on your laptop there. And you're often clicking lots of things, and I never know which time you're clicking it, you're turning everything on. So you pretty much do have to tell me.
So as soon as I'm touching this, you're like, I gotta watch what I say.
Well, I don't know if I think I have to watch what I say.
Well, you swear a lot when we're figuring out our levels, so. I haven't even said hello yet, but the producer's here. Do you want to say hello before you run off? Quite literally. Oh, I suppose that's true.
I guess I should say hi to the Hatters because I haven't seen them.
Yes. Say it. Say it.
Hi, Hatters.
That's the producer. She's going to run off now, quite literally.
Not like off literally, just run literally.
Yeah, yeah. Run away.
I've got a new app. We'll see how that goes.
Oh, good luck with that.
All right. Thanks. Have fun. All right. Be careful.
I love you. And then.
You want this door shut, don't you?
Yes. Yeah. And then bring me supper. Please.
Whatever.
Please.
I'm gonna come back. I don't have any money.
That's okay. It's going to be late before
did
I
you,
eat.
Did you technically just tell the producer to make you a sandwich because...
No. I told her to buy me a sandwich and bring it here. We worked out this plan beforehand.
Is that okay? All right.
She's providing dinner tonight. On some nights, I provide dinner.
Okay.
Usually by calling the pizza place. But I still do it. And she's providing dinner by having other... businesses make us sandwiches. So.
Local businesses even. So
local businesses make us sandwiches. You don't know. We could be getting Subways.
I'm pretty sure I know where you're getting it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Anyway, hello. Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat podcast, the only podcast in the world that started out as a Saturday morning cartoon show. It was a story... of a rookie just out of the police academy pasta bowl joining a police force and being partnered up with an old, cranky, nearing retirement cereal bowl. And the two of them patrolled the kitchen solving crimes. It was called Irritable Bowl Syndrome. Was canceled approximately one-third of the way through the airing of the pilot. Because even though it was only one of those 15-minute cartoons, one-third of the way in there had already been a dozen diarrhea puns. And apparently, parents called.
Yeah, it's a little-known fact. I'm glad you're bringing it up. I think people were surprised. Not that parents would be offended, but really that anybody would be watching.
Yeah. What with a name like that, I feel like? Irritable bowel syndrome. That's hilarious.
I guess.
Because he's cranky.
Yeah.
He's irritable.
I get it. Yeah. I mean, I know all... We both know the history, but...
And little did they know, by the fifth episode arc, he would have been shot just days before retirement, and the pasta bowl would have gone on a rampage of revenge, even though his boss would have said, you're a loose cannon.
I suppose that had the show gone that long, it would have been... People would have called about that, probably.
You think?
Well, you know...
See, I thought it was pretty impressive. But
well,
anyway,
yeah, but think people aren't supposed to die in Saturday morning cartoons.
That is true.
That's true.
For those of you experiencing sudden background noise, that's because the producer came back in and left the door open.
I forgot my headphones. 2013, I can't run without them.
Can't run without headphones.
We're not questioning your return. We're questioning you leaving the frickin' door open.
Hey, I don't think it creates that much noise.
To really? You didn't think you trying to find something in our house was gonna take a long time.
I've not met me.
The cat is very interested in.
Oh yeah.
The cat loves outside.
Toilet loves the smell of outside.
Really?
You see in the bedroom, there's like a fan in the window, mm-hmm. and they will just go to the edge of the bed right by the fan and just sniff, sniff, sniff for ages.
Okay, Hatters, I'm sorry. Tony, I'm not.
You realize they heard both of those.
Right, I'm sorry for any concern I caused them, just not you.
Oh, I thought you were secretly telling me that you weren't really sorry no. despite what you had just told them. She's winking now, guys. I don't know what that's
William,
about.
I'm sorry for everything ever.
That's all right.
Right.
Improve yourself.
Improve yourself.
That's an inside joke.
Okay.
Or a visual joke. You should have gotten it, actually, but you weren't paying enough attention. I'll explain later.
All right.
You
mean on her shirt?
Shh.
Oh.
Secret joke.
I did notice that her shirt said that.
Secret joke.
Why is that secret?
I'll tell you later. Because it's a secret. I can't tell you right now.
Okay.
Anyway, for those of you just joining us, I don't mean 5 minutes into the podcast. I mean, this is your first episode. We should tell you how it works. We have a hat. It is magical. Oh, my God. She's coming back again.
Are you sure?
Pretty sure.
Maybe she needs batteries or something.
We prepped them.
Sunglasses.
I believe my explanation for the podcast was, we have a hat, it's magical, oh my God, she's coming back again.
I haven't run outside in a long time. I don't remember how it works.
Sunglasses.
The producer's not used to going outside, people. Normally she's the shut-in.
Oh, whatchamacallit, to listen to music.
I don't let her leave the house.
Do you need something to hold the device that's going to be playing the music? Or are you one of those
she
people
keeps it
in
her
your hand?
Teeth.
I remembered that part.
Okay. She remembered her holster but forgot her gun.
I'm wearing shoes.
That is, you have no idea how big a deal that is.
All right.
Good.
Time's a charm.
Yeah.
Good luck to all of us.
I got to the end of the driveway that last time.
That, yeah.
You realize, of course, the fact that she's been on the show this much, this far into it, actually makes the show better.
Yeah, it's probably the most popular show other than the one where she actually sat in.
Yeah.
I ordered some Bluetooth headphones, should show up tomorrow. I'm kind of psyched about that.
For what purpose are you going to use?
So that I don't have a big cord connected to my iPod when I'm constantly listening to my iPod all day and occasionally keep hooking it on things and knocking it down and stuff.
Well, that'll be nice.
Yes. Anyway, for those of you just joining us now, we have a hat. It's magical in that it has its own email address. You can email the hat. TheMagicalTalkingHat@gmail.com. Go ahead and do it right now. TheMagicalTalkingHat@gmail.com. You can do that, and the hat can read those on its own and magically transmogrify them into little pieces of paper that have your questions, comments, your emails on the paper. We draw them out of the hat randomly and talk about them until we're bored. That's the whole premise of the show. So, good night. All right, so, it's been a week.
Yeah, it's been a week.
How was your week, William?
Well, I haven't told everybody that's episode 125.
Oh, I'm sorry, I'm Tony.
I'm William, and this is episode 125.
The producer has caused problems tonight.
I mean, I go out of my way to try to remember what episode it is,
so
I really do want to be able to say.
It is an important part
this is episode 125.
The experience. That's not her. You're fine.
Okay.
That's the little old lady that... Yeah. We call Phyllis. We don't know her actual name.
Okay.
But I call her Phyllis.
Well, I'm excited it's August because a week from today, the Iowa State Fair starts, so...
Oh, crap. I forgot about that.
The weekend following.
For those of you who haven't been with us for all of our years, William goes apeshit about the Iowa State Fair.
Even so, I usually only go, like, for one day. I mean, I'd love to go there and camp like a lot of people do, but I only get to go one day. But yeah, it starts a week from today. Let's see. We're going to have our read-through for The Adventures of Briar Rose.
Yes.
On the 24th, so that's exciting.
Yes.
So I'm excited that it's August. As far as how the last week went, you know, not very much to say. Except I did see Pacific Rim.
Oh, I'm very curious.
Well,
to hear your reactions here.
Okay.
I feel like it's. Well, let me put it this way: are your reactions simple or complex?
Oh, pretty simple, I think.
Really? Uh-oh. All right, then.
Why?
Well, as you recall, my reactions were quite complex.
Well, okay, first of all, you have to understand that while I like robots, vehicles that look like robots, not so much. See what I'm saying?
Yes.
While I like
robots as a concept, yeah, not as a visual.
Yeah. Although, I did appreciate the visual aspect. I'll just say that right away. I did like the visual aspect of the big robots in this movie. That was cool. Giant monsters. I like Godzilla and King Kong for their, you know, cinematic and cultural history.
Mm-hmm.
And like, you know, when they reboot Godzilla, I'll probably go see it. But big monsters in general, no, I don't really care.
Why did you go see this
large movie? Large-scale destruction does not do anything for me.
Seriously, why did you go see this movie?
Well, mostly because of Guillermo del Toro, because I like his stuff. And I will go see something that he's made, even if I don't care for the theme or the aesthetic or the story or whatever, because whenever I do, I'm always happy with the result. I mean, you know what I'm saying? I always like the piece of it that is his signature, whatever.
And
I still liked that. I was very pleased that there were some, you know, Del Toro things in it that I could really enjoy. The only complaint I have about it, really, and that's why I say my reaction is simple, is it seemed like the film itself couldn't decide if it was going to be this great Del Toro movie or like a crappy Michael Bay movie, as if there's any other kind of Michael Bay movie. But it seemed like it couldn't figure that out. Sometimes I felt like, this is, you know, Del Toro. And sometimes I felt like it wasn't even Michael Bay, but someone trying very hard to be Michael Bay and failing, which, you know, that's really bad. I mean, Michael Bay is bad enough, but failing to achieve Michael Bay.
I think there may have been attempts to make it a big blockbuster, and that may have been... And also, it may be a little bit of Mallrats syndrome. Because, I mean, he had a shit ton of money to make this. And so he might have just sort of gotten... He may have let things slip from him a bit.
Well,
I feel like he had pretty good control on this, so I'm not, from what I've heard, I'm not comfortable saying, oh, you know, somebody got in his way and made him do it. Like, I feel like he mostly was in charge of this.
Right, I agree. I think that's probably true.
So it just may have gotten away from him a little bit.
Well, I don't know if he's ever made a movie quite like this before.
Well, not on the scale, right. Certainly. And this is much more science fiction-y than...
Well, but also not... I mean, this is the first film I've ever known him to make that is, like, billed as a summer blockbuster.
This is going to be
the summer blockbuster. Yeah. So I'm not sure that he knew exactly how to do it. But I still thought it was... I didn't think it was a bad film in any sense. But I didn't like the main character.
It
was terrible. Horribly miscast.
He was usual generic white hero anyway.
But he wasn't a very good actor as far as I could tell.
Yeah. I mean, no one really was except Idris Elba. Didn't he act way too well for the movie though?
I'll have to agree.
I was constantly just like, dude, this is awesome, except it feels suddenly it's like you're on a paper mache stage. Like,
well, those were the moments where it seemed like, you know, trying to be Michael Bay or something. Even though he did better than a Michael Bay film, too. But I know exactly what you're saying.
Like, he would just... I was just like, oh, no, save it.
The two scientist guys, that...
Charlie Day and the guy who was... Oh, and in Torchwood, I don't know his
name.
And
even though I thought that was one of those Del Toro elements that I liked as a concept, it was kind of uneven.
It was pretty cliche, too.
And I didn't really care for Day.
A lot of people don't. I cannot explain why I do, because I only really know him from Always Sunny in Philadelphia. I don't particularly like Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Something about him, I can't explain it. I totally respect not liking him.
Well, to be honest, I think a lot of it is just his voice. It's just grating.
Mm-hmm.
I think if his voice was just different, or if it was voiced over with someone with a nicer voice, I wouldn't even have noticed or cared.
But, no, and that's definitely him. I mean, that's what he sounds like all the time.
It's like they cast Gilbert Gottfried or Bobcat
or
whatever in this role. And it's like, oh, this is so annoying.
To
for
be
a
fair,
whole film.
Bob Goldthwait doesn't sound like that.
No, I know. Well, but neither does Gilbert. I mean,
I don't know. I've never heard Gilbert Gottfried not
I don't,
like that.
I don't think either one of them really sound that way. But what I'm saying is, if they were cast and they were doing their shtick the whole movie, it would be horrible.
I want to see this movie again with those two parts replaced by Gilbert Gottfried and Bobcat Goldthwait.
But the idea was good, and it had its moments, and I thought, okay, see, that's sort of some good Del Toro stuff going on there. But it was uneven because you'd have that, and then you'd have something that
and.
Didn't quite make sense.
Not that he didn't do a wonderful job, but wow, the Ron Perlman bit really felt like Del Toro like finished writing it and he's like, oh shit, I gotta get Ron in here.
I gotta get a part for Ron.
Like, and he did a perfectly fine job, but because it's Ron Perlman, I don't even know that I would have felt that way with anyone else, but it's a thing. Like, it's like if Tim Burton did a movie and then there was this sort of around the side, only in a few scenes, part for Johnny Depp.
Yeah, right.
You'd be like, it feels like he wrote that in later. Yeah. You know, it had that feel.
Yeah. But, you know, it wasn't a horrible film, but it wasn't. I didn't really see what the hype was about. I mean, but again, I don't really.
Very specific purpose, specific demographic.
But,
like anybody else. Yeah, see, and if you'd given me a little bit more background to start with, I probably would have told you not to go.
Well, and other people in the house wanted to see it, so. But, you know, like I said, Del Toro, I'll go see it. And I wasn't sorry I saw it or anything. I mean, it was a spectacle. I mean, it was something to see. Some of those some of the things they did on screen were pretty spectacular. Although, personally, I think if I'd waited to see it on, you know, a television or something, I think I would have been.
I don't know. The scale was a big thing to me. I do feel like, and I may be wrong on this, but I feel like this is another milestone in effects.
Could be.
I feel somewhat like I felt when I saw Jurassic Park. I was just very impressed. I bought into it. It came as close as it can come to not feeling like CGI, which is very difficult.
Yeah, it was pretty impressive. But there was one other thing that bothered me about it. You mentioned that it didn't pass the Bechdel test, but you know that's kind of an understatement in terms of suggesting that it's not a very female positive film.
No,
you know if I don't really care for films that are just heavy testosterone laden things. I just don't really get into that. And if they have only a couple female characters, and they're portrayed in a way that I think is kind of cliche, stereotypical, or whatever. That kind of bothers me a lot.
People have argued about the role, let's be honest, the one female role. Technically, there is another one, but the one female role in the movie. And there is some argument to be had. I personally find it completely disempowering and really cliched.
Yeah, I do too.
Bullshit. There were hints. There was another female character who was partnered with a male character who I think had all of one line in the whole thing. And they had a really cool look about them.
Yes,
but, you know, who knows what.
But it was hard.
But the other one was, to me, was a walking cliche.
Yeah. And, you know, I won't get into
walking Japanese cliche. That should tell you how bad.
Yeah, yeah. So that always bothers me quite a bit when I see that in a film. So that was, I don't know. I didn't like that, but overall, as just a filmmaking film, whatever, it was fine. I think I could have seen it on television and been just as happy. But I do understand people wanted to see it on the big screen, which I'm sure just about all of our listeners would probably have seen it by now.
If you haven't, you're not really one of our listeners, are you?
What about you? How was your week?
My week is good. August is quite busy. This weekend we've got, my work is having their annual summer picnic thing. Next weekend is Derby. It's a doubleheader.
Wow.
Yeah. The weekend after that is more Derby. 3 days of Derby in Des Moines. The producer and I are going to go. There's the division championships. And we're going to go Friday night and stay all the way through Sunday.
Wow.
We've got tickets for all 3 days.
Wow.
So shit ton of Derby then. And then after that is the reading. Oh, and that same night is the reading, or that, yeah, that night is Boomtown, the thing in Vinton that the Cheneys and we always go to. Mm. I've told you about that before, the Pyrotechnics Guild thing. Yeah, that is that night. So it's very exciting August.
Do they don't always have it in Vinton, do they?
Yeah.
Oh.
Vinton's the place.
I think 1 year they had it in Amana.
No, that's the International Pyrotechnics Guild. Oh. And that is a worldwide amazing thing. This is just people in Iowa who think it's fun to make fireworks.
Okay.
I think I've talked about this before. It's the long thing where the guy is announcing the whole, everybody's gonna, this guy who I know, I've known his father, he was a great guy. There's a 5-inch shell, green with bottom shot, and then one firework goes up and goes pow. And then he says, now, from the junior division, we have 3-inch. They do this, which is hilarious. And it gets just ridiculous. There was one time where he went on and on about this guy and then said, oh, I'm sorry, folks. I was thinking of senior. This is his son. They go through it. But afterwards, is a really impressive fireworks display.
Yeah, yeah.
And the whole thing just has such this quality to it.
Is it a competition or an exhibition? I
it's a little bit of both. It's primarily an exhibition. Mm-hmm. There's like the President's Challenge and stuff in the middle, but it's primarily an exhibition. And then at the end, as near as I can tell, is just literally all the fucking fireworks they had left. Because it's just huge.
Yeah.
And oil drums that shoot pillars of flame into the air and stuff. It's very cool. And they put music to it and... It's neat. We've gone for a few years. We really like it.
Well, what did you do this week?
This week I did not do too much, except last night went to see a movie.
What'd you see?
Red 2.
Where did you see it?
At the Sycamore.
Last night?
Yes.
Well, that's when I saw Pacific Rim last night.
Were you in Theater 1?
Well, no. Of course I wasn't in Theater 1.
That's where it was when I saw it.
No, I was in 9.
Oh, okay. Theater 1 was where they had
it. So we were probably both at
theater. Yeah, I was in Theater 5.
That's
from
cool.
Basically 6:45 until 9.
Oh, so, let's see. Well, how come we didn't... We were... That's exactly the time that we were in our theater.
Our show started at 6:50. We probably
Ours started
were
at 6:40.
All right. How early did you get there? This is really compelling radio, by the way.
Probably 30 minutes ahead of time.
Okay, we were less than 30 minutes ahead.
So
yeah, you were probably already in there.
Just missed you.
Yep.
Huh.
Well, and the Cheneys were there at Pizza Ranch. So we saw them through the window, and so we come over and we start batting on the window. And the kids thought that was amazing. And then I went around the corner, and they're right there. And so I just started scrunching on the back of Reed's head. He jumped. He was so excited. He's like, Tony, surprise me. You tickled my head. So that was fun. But yeah. So
I didn't
we
see
just
them
missed
there
each either. Yeah, so saw that.
How was it?
Have you seen Red?
No, I probably won't either.
I would recommend Red. It's pretty good. Mm. In fact, it's quite good. This one, not so much. It's okay. I mean, I'm not sorry I saw it. It was worth the money. It was funny. It was exciting, much like the first one, but it wasn't on par with it. It's very much Star Trek Into Darkness to Red's Star Trek the movie. So, okay. But if you liked Red, you should probably go see it. It's pretty good. If you thought Red was absolutely just amazing and worship it, don't go see this because then it'll keep its purity. And if you didn't see Red, what the hell are you doing going to this? So see Red first because Red is awesome.
Okay.
Red is a great... It's a great action movie that's very sort of traditional action movie without being cliched and has just an amazing cast. And I've really developed a thing for watching Helen Mirren shoot guns. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. Well, I like Helen Mirren. She's really
yeah,
great.
No, and she's wonderful. Well, and it's Helen Mirren, Morgan Freeman, John Malkovich, Bruce Willis. And John Malkovich is amazing in it.
Really?
John Malkovich gets to play... Normally, you know, he plays his villains.
Yeah.
In this, he's... Okay, little tiny, tiny spoiler for Red. In this, he plays a ex-CIA agent who was secretly drugged with LSD for 15 years in the 70s as an experiment by the CIA. So now he's a lunatic. But he's fun. And there's great chemistry with everybody. Like, no, it's a good movie.
Okay.
This one, yeah, less so. But it was still fun. And it was fun to sort of return to a lot of things about it. But, yeah, so that was it. So, hat.
Sounds like a good idea.
It's time for the hat. Sing tra-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. Tra-la-la-la-la-la-la. From now on, you'll be history. Oh, wait. We might get sued.
Wow.
What?
This is very... It's a very full card.
Holy crap. Wait, let me see that card.
You don't get it yet?
Oh. Yes. I might have heard something about this. All right, yes. Sorry.
I think I heard something about it, too. This is from the producer, so I have to say that up front because the way she starts the question, it is a question, is, dear husband et al. So it's kind of addressed to you.
All right.
Well, and the rest of us. But
probably complaining about the laundry.
When I finish yoga, I'm always thirsty and crave A, Mike's Hard Lemonade, or B, Full Sugar Pepsi. Does this mean I'm going to a special yogic hell where we only practice revolved triangle, crazy inversions, and head handstands? The producer. So I guess she wants to know if craving these things means that
she's a bad person.
She's a bad person.
Yes. Or, yes, you're a bad person.
Or a bad yoga person, I guess.
Baby, I love you. You're a bad person. No.
Revolve triangle, crazy inversion, and head handstands.
I hope there is a position just called crazy inversion. Well, do you have a lot of... Do you ever work out?
Well, I mean, these days, I just walk. I was sort of a runner for a long time, like pretty much all the time we worked.
Okay, so when you would go running and you'd come back, mm-hmm. what would you be craving as a beverage? Just water?
Yeah, just water.
I have discovered, because one day, I don't know, I had the urge. I was like, you know, cause I've had such a weird relationship in my life with Gatorade. And years later, it's you know, competitors. Because I like Gatorade. I've always liked Gatorade.
Really?
Yeah. I do.
I've never liked it.
There's a certain lightness of flavor that I've enjoyed, and I used to drink it more. As time has gone on, and I have, you know, I pay better attention to nutrition and stuff, I realize Gatorade, Powerade, all of those, is really good for you if you are doing a lot of exercise and getting dehydrated and burning calories and stuff. As just a drink, when you're hanging out, it's terrible. It's melted popsicle with some extra salt. Like, you should never be doing that. It is not meant to just be a beverage, ever. But that's largely what it is nowadays. But so at some point when I'm working out, in the process of working out, I realized one day I was like, hey... I actually am sort of eligible to drink Gatorade now.
You're Gatorade eligible.
And not have it just, like, go straight to giving me a fat ass or whatever.
Does it make you wish that Gator Gum was still around because...
Oh, Gator Gum. Gator Gum was so weird. Gator Gum was really weird. It had this taste to it that wasn't the taste of Gatorade. It was something else. It was probably, like, leftover Agent Orange or something. But so anyway, Gator Gum was weird.
Did you have Gatorade then?
Well, I go to the local convenience store, and they've got Gatorade. They've got Gatorade Light, which is like half the calories or whatever. And they've got Powerade, and they've got Powerade Zero. And so it's basically a diet version. There's zero calories in it. And I'm like, you know, I'm still dealing with the carbs and stuff, and I'm used to drinking. I'm fine with artificial sweetener. I usually drink. So I was like, I'll get that. And I discovered there are two flavors there. One is blue, one is purple. I'm not going to bother. They probably have names, but one is blue and one is purple. Let's be honest. I think the purple might actually be grape, but the blue is like, I don't know, burbleberry crunch or something.
You say there's two flavors and you say colors.
Exactly. In this day and age. The purple is awful. I do not like it. I have decided. The blue is really good. And it's gotten to the point when I finish a workout, I kind of crave going and getting one of those. So especially on the weekends, that's usually what I do. On the drive home, I stop by there and I get one of those.
I can't say I've ever craved a beverage. I rarely crave a particular food, for that matter. But
yeah, you're weird, remember?
Yeah. but I can't say I've ever. And if I'm thirsty, I definitely
crave beverages. But water is one of the ones I sometimes crave.
Although,
and I do drink a lot of water. I just drink a lot of other shit as well.
There's this brand of lemonade and limeade that you can get at Hy-Vee here.
Is it the Simply?
Yes, yes.
The producer is quite a fan of Simply Lemonade and Limeade.
The Limeade I especially like for some reason.
It depends on her mood. She'll switch. And she's discovered she does not like, there's like a raspberry lemonade or something. She does not particularly like
that. And a blueberry. But yeah, pretty much the Limeade is, I really like it. And sometimes in the summertime, I do kind of get in the mood to have some of that. Sometimes I like, I like root beers and
sarsaparillas. You're quite a root beer man, yeah.
And ginger ales and stuff. The things that are like made with real roots and berries and stuff.
Oh, my God.
That stuff. But I wouldn't say I crave it, but sometimes I am interested to have some.
Last night, date night, went to see Red 2. Before then, went to dinner. Went to dinner at Two Dogs.
Yeah.
And there was a poster up that they now carry in bottles all the varieties of beer from the Deschutes Brewery in Bend, Oregon.
Okay.
Among these is a beer called Black Butte Porter. This is my favoriteest beer in the world. This is a beer I could only get in Oregon. I would always get it whenever we would go back. One time, I think my dad shipped me a six-pack. I love this beer. It is now half a mile from my house. I'm so happy.
Somehow that it makes me think that might not be a good thing.
I don't know. I actually like the taste. So
no.
I've had one.
I that's not what I mean. I mean, you know,
I don't drink much beer anymore because it's for alcoholic beverages. It is the least wise for a diabetic.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. No, beer has a lot of carbs. Beer has carbs. Wine has very little carbs, and spirits have essentially none. And in fact, alcohol will help lower your blood sugar, so spirits can be actually have the opposite effect.
Interesting.
But I was super psyched about that. Now, this is a beer I fell in love with before I was legally old enough to drink it. Interesting summer before college. Anyway, yeah, so that was cool. All right, back to the producer's question. Craving sugared Pepsi or Mike's Hard Lemonade? Well, Mike's is not a good idea after a workout. The alcohol is dehydrating.
Dehydrating, yeah.
Yes. Full sugar Pepsi is a poor life decision. Sugared soda in general. Not that diet soda is a particularly good one, but sugared soda, like one of the first things I discovered when I got the diagnosis, that's what I always refer to it, by the way, now is the diagnosis. That's the event. Yeah. And it's a capital T and then a capital D, the diagnosis. and started looking at labels and stuff, is a 20-ounce bottle of Pepsi, for example, more carbs than the maximum estimate of what I'm allowed in an entire meal.
Wow.
Meaning, if I had a zero-carb lunch, I still could only drink most, but not all, of the bottle of Pepsi if I wanted to stay in my carb range.
The real question, though, is there some kind of karmic problem with her simply wanting these things? I mean, she doesn't even necessarily drink them, but just wanting them.
Well,
is that bad karma?
As we learned recently from Kumail Nanjiani's special Beta Male, looking at a woman with a lustful gaze is equally sinful to stabbing the prophet's nephew in the back while he's praying.
Wow.
So, by that token, I think yes.
Yeah.
This is probably up there.
Yeah, probably up there.
Sorry.
You
really
producer
should not do it. No, I mean, the Pepsi's fine. I mean, the sugar's not good, but you will get hydration from that.
Mm-hmm.
The caffeine does not offset that badly. But no, in general, water's better. And the producer's been getting pretty good at drinking water more. She hasn't been a big water drinker in the past. And she's better at it. So keep up with it, Angel. You're going to be good. Don't give in.
And there's probably a lot
we'll drink that other shit different times, not right after you have it.
And there's probably other positive karma things she's doing to make up for
yes.
the negative karma. So probably don't have it to
It is specific to yoga, though. Do you think there's something psychological? It's not just a workout. Specific, she says,
yeah,
specific
true.
To yoga.
It's
there's
true.
Something about the practice of yoga that makes you crave alcohol and or sugar. Maybe because yoga seems so pure and spiritual that you're just like, I am sick of this.
Well, I would think
my body needs some corruption.
I would think that,
we could try this out. Instead, next time, ingest small amounts of a non-lethal poison or cigarettes. Try that and see if that hits the same spot.
Well, the thing is,
spot.
The thing is, one delivers a depressant. And the other delivers a stimulant. So I'm not sure what that means. On one hand, for example, does she crave the Mike's Hard Lemonade when she has a particularly frustrating yoga session? And then she craves the Pepsi when she has a particularly relaxing yoga session? Like she's very relaxed afterwards, and she's so relaxed that she feels like she needs a little bit of caffeine, or she's very frustrated afterwards, and she's so frustrated she feels like she needs Mike.
I hope there's not people who feel so relaxed they feel they need caffeine.
Well, to maybe get something done, you know what I'm saying? Like,
no.
Like now that I've gone to my yoga session, I'm relaxed, I'm at ease, and I don't want to go home and do a whole bunch of stuff. I'd like to maybe just sit down and sort of keep relaxing or even go to bed. I don't want to have to do all the chores that I have to do at home, so now I have to
give me the
Pepsi. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not sure relaxed is the right word, though.
Okay.
Tired. Fatigued. That's when you have caffeine.
Right.
So you don't understand. You've never drank alcohol, and you don't drink caffeine for any strategic purposes.
I mean, and I never have, so.
Yeah. So you don't understand.
And in fact, when I.
And you've never done yoga.
No.
So really, you're in no position to judge any of this.
I can't.
So I will take it over.
I'm just asking. Really, I don't know.
Who are you guys? This isn't a phone call. They can't answer back.
No, I'm asking you.
Oh.
I'm speculating a little bit here because, I mean, you know the producer, so maybe you can give me some insight into what she really means
Spring
by...
time for Hitler in Germany.
I don't think the producer has to worry about going to any kind of hell. Let's just put it that way.
I feel like both of those things are guilty pleasures of hers.
Okay.
So I feel like, yeah, there is some sort of desire for spiritual corruption after yoga. To which I say, in the words of the immortal Jesse Hyatt, fuck it.
Okay.
All right.
He probably didn't
also,
say that.
While this isn't a phone call. You can answer us with whatever you'd like at the blog, themagicaltalkinghat.com. Go there, talk amongst your friends, play all our exciting mini games.
We don't have.
We do. Like, find the episode, play the episode, figure out how to comment. Comment. These are all exciting mini games.
Okay.
Usually
mini games have cool little rewards.
Get the balloon on the fork. The reward here is community. So do that, themagicaltalkinghat.com, and write the hat, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Now, William can't tell time, so I'm going to assume he thinks we're done, because we're not.
I hope not. I hope we have time to...
We do have some time.
As much as I appreciate the producer's question, I would like
so
to try
so much.
To...
Wow. Little light on questions here, people.
Yeah, we are. Is that going to be a problem?
Not as long as people write in. Keep writing. This is from Blood Sparrow. You may know her as Blood Sparrow. Dear Hat Thralls.
That's us.
That is. What do you look for in a cell phone? This is an intriguing question for us.
Well,
technically, neither of us own a cell phone.
Yeah, I suppose if I had one thing I'd look for in a cell phone is... I don't even know what to look for in a cell phone.
Well, your household has a cell phone.
Yeah, yes, but I mean, I don't have any,
You were not involved in the decision-making process.
No.
Do you have any sense to what those that were looked for?
Okay, sure. Let's see. They wanted something that was as close to being just a phone as you can still get these days. That doesn't
Why
strike
was that exactly?
Well, because that's what they want. I mean, nobody carries the cell phone around, like, to the store or anything like that. It's just something we have in the car when we're traveling long distances.
So they weren't planning to use any additional features, and a phone with them would just be extra expense
yes,
for no reason.
Yes, that's right.
I see. All right.
So, yeah, I mean, but I don't know if that really counts as something you're looking for in a cell phone, because that is what a cell phone is.
No, but I think that is a thing now.
It's more something you're not looking for in a cell phone. You don't want it, you don't care for it to, be able to take pictures or connect to the internet or text anybody or anything like that. You just want it to be a phone, and you're only going to use it for that purpose, like I said, when you're traveling long distances and you're afraid you might have a breakdown or you
yeah.
might have to call someone and tell them you're going to be late.
And it overlaps some with a main issue for people, which is expense. How much, like, getting a cheap phone.
Right. But yeah, I suppose if... I mean, I can't even speculate. I mean, we have a cell phone for a very specific purpose, and a cell phone is all we need it to be. And so that's usually what we look for, is a inexpensive... only cell phone.
I see.
But what about... Now, you don't have one either.
I have never owned one. However, the producer who just came back has one. So, you can help us with this, hon.
Yeah.
What do you look for in a cell phone?
Work paying for it?
Work paying for it. That is a good one.
Wow.
That is what she found
in
hers.
Work will pay for it?
That's work's phone, technically.
Wow.
Because we're the last people on the planet to not have one, and she's big important now.
Something like that.
So you should listen to the episode, because you had a question on it.
Oh, I did. And this is what I wrote myself, because I knew he wouldn't write it all. See, I just ruined the whole episode.
Shh, possibly the entire series.
Oh my gosh. Sorry,
Adam,
that's it. We're done.
Yeah. Nowhere near Avogadro's number.
Okay, well, wait. Can I give another answer? Are you trying
that's
to finish?
That's hilarious. What? I don't know. We're working on the cell phone thing.
Yeah.
Okay, because I mean, I did. That was my flippant answer, but I did get to pick between several.
That was my flippant answer, but I did get to pick between several.
And what determined your choice?
Well, what determined my choice is that I already own an iPad and a MacBook Pro.
Oh, so you're talking about the phone.
Yeah.
I thought you were talking about your response to the question thing a minute ago.
Husbands. Right. I got to pick between several.
Yes.
And I picked you. Go figure. Analyze. No, I got to pick between several phones, and I picked the iPhone because it matches all my other crap, so...
Yeah, because she now has an iPad and a Mac.
Right. So...
And I have an iPod.
That makes the question of why I picked iDevices in the first place, and I'm not really sure I know the answer of it.
I have an iPod, and we have found that this is not very handy. She very seldom uses her phone as a phone.
Right. Tony has to remind me that I can call people.
Yes, she genuinely forgets. But, we use it a lot for messaging, and now as long as I'm somewhere where my iPod has Wi-Fi, home, work, you know, Panera, McDonald's nowadays, we can message back and forth, which we have found quite useful. And she stops stealing my iPod to do things, so that's nice.
So, let me ask you something here, Trish. Why is it you feel guilty for craving Mike's Hard Lemonade or Full Sugar Pepsi after yoga?
We theorized about this quite a bit.
I feel bad.
Don't tell her everything, though. I want her to listen.
Well, and they keep telling me at work I need to listen to that last episode because they're like, oh, Tony missed you so much. You talked about it on the episode.
I cut myself during that episode. Wow. We didn't talk about it, but I was cutting myself just to feel something.
Jeez.
All right. I feel bad about contaminating my body as a whole after working out, but yoga specifically, since, you know, it's in theory, you know, there's the yoga poses that you do, but then there's like a whole yoga lifestyle.
I was on this one thinking
drugs, caffeine and alcohol are included in that.
What? Why do you think you crave them afterwards then?
Probably just because I am dehydrated and need to drink water. But in my mind that translates for, wow, I could really use a Pepsi.
Angel, let me ask you one thing.
And did you tell them that I'm addicted to Pepsi? Because I'm totally addicted.
I did not.
But they know now.
Let me ask you.
Yes?
Do you ever come back from yoga and find that you are just too relaxed and need to be less relaxed so that you can get things done?
Oh, I don't recall having
Would you care to guess who put forth such a theory?
I was just guessing. I was trying to figure
out... No, but similar to Twiglet, this person has never had alcohol and does not understand human beings in the slightest.
Here's my confusion. One of these things delivers a depressant, and the other delivers a stimulant. So I figured sometimes after yoga, you might want one or the other based on how things went.
My family is Methodist. So, as a whole, when we find ourselves thinking, I could really use a drink, we have strong negative reactions to that, and I've managed to transliterate that into, I could just drink a Pepsi, because that's fine. My Methodism doesn't have an issue with caffeine.
No,
so,
that's true.
Pepsi is her virgin Mike's Hard Lemonade.
It totally is. For a while, when I was really stressed out at work, it'd be like 4:30, I'm like, oh god, I'm going to go home and I'm going to have a Pepsi. And then I was like, what the hell
But
is
baby,
wrong?
They had the Mike's Hard Lemonade vending machine at work. Why didn't
that
you just
so
use
awesome.
That?
But the question is, but you don't crave lemonade, you crave Mike's Hard Lemonade.
Yeah.
Is there something more refreshing about it? Or
The alcohol?
Yeah, and it's in my refrigerator. Did you drink them while I was gone?
No, I didn't touch them.
Alright, so.
It's all you.
But yeah, but then that adds to, like, when I use my logical brain, because I assume that, yeah, it's totally just because I'm dehydrated. So either one of those is only going to make the problem worse, probably, rather than better.
But you don't crave water.
No, that would be ridiculous.
And you never, and you
That's
never
what
come
I actually
home,
drink, though.
And you never come home feeling too relaxed.
Shut up. Now,
only people.
Because at the end of yoga, you always lay in Shavasana, and then you have to get up.
Also known as corpse pose.
Right, but nobody calls it that because that would be disgusting. But yeah, you're laying on the floor, so then, like, to get up, you already have gotten out of your most relaxing part of the
so,
day.
Also,
but you feel
only
guilty.
People who don't do drugs think that drugs are that, like, specific kind of thing. Oh, that one's an upper, that one's a downer.
Okay, whatever, no. but...
They
but,
are a thing, but to us users, we're not like, do I want to move up from here?
Why do you,
but I don't think that's true, because, like, especially if you have undiagnosed ADHD and you're self-medicating, you want stimulants. It's cool.
Okay, I guess it's alcohol right. mostly that doesn't all right, count. All right. Nobody ever
you,
thinks of alcohol
why do you feel
as a
guilty?
When they're doing
why do you feel guilty just for being tempted?
Oh, there's a good question.
Because you didn't...
I should be judged on my actions, not my
well, I'm just saying that you... All you said that... was that you were tempted to drink these things and you thought that that might doom you to hell.
I put forth a brilliant theory, but I'm loath to tell it to you because
well,
you should listen.
Well, and if we're being completely honest, honestly, it's a thing. I crave it all the time and I find that somewhat ridiculous. And I thought the question in and of itself was funny. So it's kind of like Tony tweeting. Like, he just says things because not necessarily because he believes them or whatever. He thinks it's funny. So, yeah.
You mean I don't really think flightless birds were a dumb idea?
Thing you said on Twitter.
I don't usually say racist things on Twitter. I say racist things on the podcast.
Whatever.
Dude.
Well, yeah. Anyway, it was funny. We were glad to.
Am I
it.
Free to move about the cabin?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Go. Get me a sandwich.
Fuck you, bitch.
I can't believe you said
this is what William said as soon as you left. When I said, "Please get me dinner," he's like. Did you basically just tell her to make you a sandwich? And I said, no, I told her to pay somebody else to make her a sandwich to bring to me.
I thought you were far too calm in responding to his request for it to be, make me a sandwich.
As opposed to now,
yes.
Where for those of you who may not have heard, and since she wasn't mic'd up, she said, fuck you, bitch. Not the first time today. I'm going to go out on a limb and say I'm pretty sure not the first time today she said that to me.
To you?
Yeah, to me. You hardly say that to anybody else. It's all for me. And I'd feel weird if you did say it to other people. I actually said I fucking hate you to my boss the other day. It was pretty awesome. To be fair, she had just done something that was a pain in the butt. And I was like, oh my God. Well, actually, no. I had been working on something that was taking a long time. And, like, right after I was done, she informed me she wasn't going to need a big part of it. And I was like, God damn it. And she starts laughing. I'm like, I fucking hate you. And then she laughed more.
Okay.
What?
And pagan?
I'm not willing to say anymore who's who. We definitely have some local hatters, so let's give it a shot.
Okay, if you're... Wait, I should come
over. Oh, is this about Llamas Fest?
Yeah.
Yes, this weekend, people, right here coming, which means to August 2nd, 3rd, and 4th.
Yep.
He said Coralville showing 1, Reservoir. 2, and 3. At Coralville Reservoir.
Go ahead. I'm sure they can hear you.
It's
Llamas
Fest.
It's a big 3-day camping party of pagans to celebrate Llamas.
And you can stop by, see what's going on.
Yeah, you can just show up if you want.
More info and schedule, it is at llamasfest.us. They probably don't know how to spell that. Will you put the link
in? Yeah, I'll put the link in the show notes. Llamasfest.us.
And tomorrow night is a labyrinth. This is the only thing I know.
Oh, tomorrow night is a lit
candlelit
labyrinth thing they do. It's pretty awesome. So,
anything
you might want to check it out.
Go get your sandwich?
No, I'm good.
Do you want to drink pickle chips?
No, thank you.
Hatters, you need anything?
You guys need a sandwich? Or pickle? All right, thanks. Thank you, baby. We didn't ask you if you wanted to. I'm assuming anything they serve at a fast food place you can't eat for some reason.
I don't know.
We could hook you up.
No, it's okay. Are we done?
So, no, what do we look for in a cell phone? We haven't really hit the... I haven't had a chance to deal
right.
with this at all. I'm part of this show too, William. It's not just irritable bowel syndrome with Willie Wright, extreme jackass billionaire.
And the producer.
Are you guys having a podcast without me? Are you cheating on me with my wife on the podcast?
No.
Yeah, I didn't. That wasn't really fully formed. I like the idea of the thought of infidelity, but it's with a podcast. That's what I was going for. I don't think I put it together really well, but here's the thing. At this point, I will probably, when I get a cell phone, get a smartphone. But that's, the exception will be if for some reason I get a cell phone and want to carry both it and my iPod around, in which case I will probably get a stripped down, just a phone kind of thing as well. Oddly, the producer getting a cell phone has decreased any need I have for one, because the house has one, and mostly, you know, she can now communicate with me much easier, and that works fine. But this is a problem I have always had, in that technological luxuries, once I have them, I can't really live without them. I grew up with no cable television, literally all the way to college.
Really?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
No,
I mean,
cable television kind.
But cable was kind of just getting started when I was in high school.
So. I had a couple of UHF channels, but yeah, no cable whatsoever.
Wow, that's interesting.
And when there was internet, it was dial-up on a 1200 baud modem, eventually on a 2400 baud modem with one phone line, at least until I hit high school. I talked on the phone so much that my parents got me a second phone line just so they could have a little goddamn use of their own phone. When I went to college, there was cable TV there, of course, and there was some dial-up internet. When I moved out on my own, I still did not have cable because I couldn't afford it, and I still had dial-up internet because that was really the only option at that point. When I moved to Iowa City, I moved in with some people who had high-speed internet and who had not just cable, but digital cable. Since it was all for the household, there wasn't really a way to separate it, and I was fine paying for it because I was going to make use of it. So, you know, we split it fair, and I could totally afford it. I loved both of these things and then couldn't live without them. So now everywhere I've lived, I have to have high-speed internet, and we have digital cable and all that. We eventually got a DVR, the producer and I. Now, totally don't know what I would do without the DVR. Didn't used to have a laptop once I got one, never looked back on that. Had no interest in a tablet, but then I won that Kindle Fire. Now I love it. I would hate to be without it. My iPod. I totally can't live without my iPod at this point. I would be, one day at work, I actually forgot it. It was pretty bad. The only way I made it through the day was I had my Kindle, I plugged my headphones into that, and I listened to Pandora all day. Otherwise, I don't know what I would have done. So I'm pretty sure as soon as I have a cell phone, it is going to be surgically grafted to my hip. Which is part of why I am nice and slow about it.
And you think you'll get a smartphone?
I suspect I will. At such time as it happens. Because I think it's just going to be too annoying to carry around two devices.
Well, if I was going to have a mobile device, I wouldn't have a phone.
I'm guessing you would have a tablet?
I'm not sure what I would have, but the only reason I would want a mobile device is if I wanted to be able to do certain things away from home. And talking to people on the phone is not one of those things.
That was largely my logic for getting the iPod.
In fact,
because I wanted to do all the stuff a smartphone could do, except I wasn't interested in talking on the phone.
I mean, I don't like talking on the phone anyway. Mm. I loved it when email came along because I don't like writing letters. I don't like talking on the phone. Here was something that allowed me to avoid talking on the phone. But I didn't have to sit down and write a letter and mail a letter. Or
use Semaphore as you usually do.
It was perfect. And I don't think I'd ever like text or do that. But email, yes, I like that. I like using email to communicate with people. And I prefer people to communicate with me that way too. So I don't think I would ever if I was going to have a mobile device, it would just be,
The one other side to it is, and the other major argument for getting the iPod, is I don't pay a monthly fee for the iPod, and I still get to use everything on it. But the flip side of that is I only can use it where there's a Wi-Fi signal. Whereas, within reason, you could use the iPhone anywhere. Not just for the phone capabilities, but all the other stuff. As long as you have a cellular signal. But you pay for that month to month.
Yeah.
So, no, I have felt largely the same way you have, and I still do. I'm very happy with my iPod.
The only reason I would get a tablet, I think, is because, I mean, sometimes I might want to do some writing somewhere.
Yeah.
And I'd probably want one of those keyboards.
The little keyboard things you have in. Yeah, the Bruiser has one of those.
But
it's basically replaced her computer.
But, well, sure, it can replace a laptop.
Like, even at home, she's on the couch, they're both right there. She doesn't use her laptop anymore.
But when I think of carrying a tablet around as opposed to a smaller device, I always think carrying a smaller device would be easier.
If you don't have a bag. Now that I carry a purse everywhere, it totally works for me. But, yeah, if you didn't, then you'd be literally carrying it. And that's,
so
that's
it
good.
Would just be an issue of, you know, how often am I going to want to sit down and write?
Yep.
And if I think I'm going to want to do that often, then I'll live with the hassle of carrying a tablet as opposed to a smaller device. But if I don't think I'm going to do that, then I'll just go with a smaller device because I don't need a tablet. But, yeah, I just wouldn't get a cell phone, I don't think.
Yeah. I probably won't for quite some time. The trick just becomes the world is starting to assume I have one. The world is insisting that they reach me that way or that I reach them that way. The world is insisting that I text something. The world is insisting that I don't need a payphone anymore. These things are starting to be a hassle.
Right.
But again, with the producer having one, I think that makes it even longer before I have to bother.
Right,
so.
Right, sure.
Anyway, we're ending on kind of a serious and interesting note tonight. Not so funny, but interesting.
Well, thanks, Blood Sparrow, and thanks, producer.
Yes.
Double thanks, producer, for participating so much in the show.
And for bringing me a sandwich, which he's about to do.
I think that makes sense.
So for the rest of you, go to the blog, themagicaltalkinghat.com, and say things. And write the hat, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. We're getting low on things here, so you should do that, because without it, there's no show. And if there's no show, we pitch a new cartoon idea to CBS. I don't even think there are Saturday morning cartoons anymore, so that would suck. So, have a good week, and we'll talk to you later.
Later.
I seriously think irritable bowel syndrome is the funniest thing ever.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.